Hey friend, in today's episode, we're talking all about homeschool math and the reality that so many of us slam our heads up against a wall every year, sometimes every day when it comes to math. So get ready, I've got 11 strategies to help support you as you equip your child. Hey friend, welcome to A Heart for All Students podcast. My name is Lindsay LaVisca, and it's my honor to be with you each week to talk about how we can homeschool and parent our outside-the-box kids so that we can equip them with the tools and strategies that they need to thrive as exactly who God has intentionally designed them to be. If your child doesn't fit into the box of the world's expectations, this is the place for you. Together, one mama at a time, we can change the narrative for kids growing up with ADHD, ASD, or no acronym at all. Let's do this, mama. We're in it together. Hey, girl, you are not alone if your child struggles with math. If you have worked over and over and over again to finally master a concept, only to find out a week later they have no recollection of what you just talked about and what you learned, you're not alone. So many children struggle with long-term retention of math concepts and math facts and math skills. So know that while that can be super, super frustrating, there are things that you can do. So here are 11 simple tips for planning your homeschool math for your struggling students. All right. Homeschool math planning does not have to be intimidating for homeschool moms. Even if your child struggles with math, please know that there is so much you can do to change that narrative. Tears and meltdowns or any other resistance to math is your clue that something's going on behind the scenes. And again, that includes math resistance. When you see your child running for the hills or sobbing or melting down, there is a reason behind it. And 9 times out of 10, it's not because they're trying to be willfully disobedient. And it's not because they're trying to be lazy. Our kids want to please. They want to succeed. So we need to take this information as the helpful clue that it really is. Again, math resistance is information. Behavior is information. We've all heard that, right? Your child's frustration is actually the symptom of an underlying problem. And while the world has often programmed us to believe that it's always because our kids are lazy, that's just not really the truth. And how does being called lazy ever motivate anybody and ever help anybody to take the next step, especially when trying to learn something that's challenging? It doesn't. It doesn't work for us, and it doesn't work for our kids. So today, let's talk about some practical principles that you can apply to your homeschool math planning and instruction. Number one, it isn't that children are bad at math. If you have pulled your child out of school recently, which many moms have, or if you've been homeschooling for a very, very long time, but have been using a traditional approach, this is the problem. Children are often pushed along through this system without the solid foundation that they truly need. And this makes math extremely stressful and often unattainable. By taking a moment to step back and assess your child's current skill level in various areas of math, you will be better armed to plan accordingly. Number two, find the gap. If your child is resistant to any type of schoolwork, this is probably due to a gap in some specific foundational skill. Now, this is especially important to understand when it comes to math, because each math skill or concept builds upon the others. So a solid understanding of addition facts is essential to understanding subtraction. Multiplication fluency, being able to understand and get your math facts, it's essential for understanding and mastering division. Finding your child's pain point is necessary in order to move forward. Children cannot confidently move forward to that next lesson or that next concept if they really, really need to go backwards in order to master the preceding concepts. I mean, this is just the truth. Just because a program, a curriculum, or a school system says your child should be at X, Y, or Z level by X, Y, or Z grade doesn't mean they are, in fact, actually capable of that. And it doesn't mean that by pushing and pushing and pushing them, that they can actually achieve that which we want them to achieve simply because some outside entity has dictated and declared that all children should be able to do that. It's just not the truth. Every child, every human being thinks differently, grows differently, develops differently. I said this recently, and I know it's dramatic, but it needs to be stated. We don't shame children because they don't reach puberty at the same time, at the same stage. We don't do that to children. But we always do that to children when it comes to behavior, academics, and other benchmark expectations. We need to put ourselves in check. Number three, homeschool, math, formal assessments can help lead you to the starting point. So in order to make the right math goals for your child, you'll need a way to actually find the math gaps, the weaknesses, or their strengths. Sunlight actually has a great assessment area on their website to help you determine where your child really is in math. They have several different resources and links available. If you go to my website, aheartforallstudents.com, you will be able to click on a link to get you to that particular post within Sunlight. Now, once your child has completed a math assessment, whether it's online or on paper, you'll have a better idea of where to start with your homeschool planning. Now, number four, here's the caveat. If your child struggles with taking tests, if they have test anxiety at all, especially if they've come out of the traditional system in which they have been flailing and flailing and not keeping up, not because they're willfully disobedient or lazy, but because the expectations were completely inappropriate for them, they may not be ready to take another test. So why don't you ask yourself some basic questions to give you a starting point? Think to yourself, okay, when my child's working on two-digit by two-digit multiplication or two-digit by two-digit addition, whatever it is it the basic facts that he or she is struggling with? Or is my child struggling to remember the steps involved? So when we're talking about two-digit by two-digit multiplication, there's so many things going on there. First of all, your child has to know all their basic multiplication facts. If those multiplication facts, those one-digit by one-digit ones, are not fluent yet, you're now pairing it with a new concept that hasn't even been remotely mastered yet. So now you have two challenging concepts being combined at the same time. That oftentimes leads to incredible frustration and stress. And when we add stress and frustration, the upper part of the brain, specifically the prefrontal cortex, goes offline or loses its capability of functioning and receiving and processing information as well, because that lower part of the brain, by God's design, which is meant to keep us alive in the face of threat and fear, that part of the brain has kind of taken over. Stress and learning do not work well together. So when you come upon the real issue, oh, the basic multiplication facts are not mastered yet, you have some options. You either take a step back and focus only on those multiplication facts until they become fluent. Or for many children with learning differences, this may not be the best bet. So when a child struggles with the steps involved in a certain math process, create a reference cheat sheet outlining the proper steps and allow your child to use this support until the steps are automatic. Literally, take a note card and put the steps down with an example math problem down. Use color coding to help them understand. When multiplying two digits by two digits, you want to start from the bottom up, and you start with the ones column. I will have an image drawn and post it on my website at heartforallstudents.com. You can click on homeschool math planning for the struggling student to get a better idea of what I'm referring to. Always give your child the supports that they need in order to take the next step. It is not cheating. It is learning. It is giving your child what they need to take that next step and find success. Here's another question you might ask yourself. When does your child start to lose it? Is it when we're working on word problems? Here's another math tip. When a child struggles with word problems, this is often an indication of a reading comprehension or language processing issues. Read the problem aloud to your child and chew on it and hash through it together, sentence by sentence or phrase by phrase, teaching them how to pull out the important information. Use visuals, use colors, highlight the numbers in one color, grab another color, circle the operation words, for example, all together for adding or multiplying, into how many groups would be division. Process through word problems aloud with your child first before you have them do word problems on their own. Again, you know your child. Use information from behavior to guide your supports. And there's also tons of related posts on this. I have a particular post called How to Help a Struggling Reader, Language Processing Issues, and More. Highly recommend it if you have a child who struggles with reading, writing, following through on directions, or relational problems. Trust me, language processing is a huge barrier for so many kids, and we are just now understanding it. Regardless, whatever you find that is the missing piece for your child's math understanding, that is where instruction must begin. Number 5, focus on one math objective. Now, once you determine where your child needs to begin with homeschool math instruction, wherever that gap is, it's often best to focus on one concept at a time. This is especially true when your child resists math or if your child has recently been pulled out of school. If your child has been struggling for a long time, whether it has been in the traditional school system or if it's been through virtual schooling, oh my word, don't get me started. If that's the case and they have been drowning and struggling, you're going to need to take some time to what is called de-school. Look it up. This post is not about de-schooling. Look up de-schooling. There is genius behind it. But if your child is in a situation where, for the most recent past, whether it's because they were struggling with virtual schooling, struggling in a traditional system, or even if the dynamic between the two of you has been super strained, and this happens because we're people. I make mistakes with my kids all the time. But if there's been so much tension, it's often best to really pull back and just focus on one thing at a time. With a small amount of intention, your child can quickly learn the skills he needs to move on to the more difficult math concepts. So if your child is weak in multiplication facts, I'm just sticking with it, plan to spend like a month working only on multiplication facts. Just put it in your brain. I'm going to spend the next month allowing my child to really focus on those multiplication facts. I am not going to let fear get in the way. I'm going to really hone in on those foundational skills. Let me tell you one thing. It does not take 12 years to learn math. Period, the end. It doesn't take 12 years. That is an artificial amount of time that we have set up for a system because it had to run as a system. It doesn't take 12 years. So know this, if it takes 6 months to be intentional with math facts and your kid isn't losing his mind because he's only focused on math facts, and maybe I'm exaggerating a little, but you get the point. It doesn't matter. Give your child what they need to succeed. If your child is done, they've done their best. Sometimes a lot of people will recommend, just like I mentioned earlier with a reference chart, provide your child with a multiplication table that is literally sitting next to them. You can get multiplication tables. You can print them out free. Go on Pinterest. And it's literally like a chart that tells you, you know, you go to the number 3 and you scroll over to the 4 column and you find that number in the middle. 3 times 4 is 12. Allow your child to use that reference chart to work through harder math problems so that they can move on. The reason is even by allowing them that support of a cheat sheet for multiplication facts, they're gonna learn them eventually because they're right there. It's going to happen. So there's multiple ways to offer what teachers will call scaffolding or supports in order to help your child take that next step. And if you're not following me on Pinterest yet, follow me on Pinterest. I have so many awesome resources from so many amazing homeschool educators and some professional educators that will help you find the tools you need to equip your child. Always think, let's think outside the box. How can I support my child? Again, sometimes focusing on one math objective is the way to go. You can also check out a particular post on the website that talks about understanding how your child learns before you choose homeschool math curriculum. And in that particular post, I talk about the differences between mastery-based curriculum and spiral-based curriculum. There's not one that's better than the other. It really depends on your child and the particular concept that you are navigating at a certain time. I have had to go back and forth between spiral-based programs and mastery-based programs depending upon the needs of my children in any particular season. So you definitely want to check out that post, and it also has tons of great recommendations for math curriculum. Number 6, remember to breathe. Haha. Let me read that for myself. Remember to breathe, Lindsay. Remember to breathe and don't give in to fear. Whatever you do, don't attempt to plow through the basic concepts and skills because you think your child should be farther along. By doing this, your child is never going to get what he's missing. Fear is a liar. Deep breaths. When fear starts to take over and it becomes stressful and you are fighting with your kid, when you can gain your self-control, take a step back, take a deep breath, and know, I need to provide my child the basics before they can get to the next step. We all know that we can't get to the top of that mountain until we take that first step, right? Math is the same way. Honestly, you'll be shocked at how little time it can take for your child to make huge strides when he's focusing on one thing. Number 7, short bursts of stress-free math throughout the day. Too much of too much at one time is overwhelming for kids and adults. This is especially true when working on a subject that causes stress and anxiety, those challenging new concepts. Get super focused on the math skill that you are focused in on and plan for short, powerful bursts of intentional one-on-one instruction. Honestly, 5 minutes is like such a sweet spot. For example, spend 5 minutes practicing math facts in the morning, 5 minutes at lunchtime, and then sprinkle in 5 minutes of math practice before dinner. And I always say, do it while your kid's jumping on a trampoline or swinging on a swing set. And there's a whole nother post, and I guess that's a whole nother story. But I have a favorite indoor trampoline. If you live in a subdivision that doesn't allow trampolines, that was one of my biggest mistakes moving where I moved. We had to get an indoor trampoline, and I have an awesome indoor trampoline that we utilize all the time. And again, that's going to provide vestibular and proprioceptive sensory input. You know I love to talk about these things. Definitely check out more on my website and check out Barely Surviving to Outright Thriving, my online course. I have a whole module all about the different sensory needs and how to best help our kids self-regulate and learn using specific sensory input. Now, by allowing your child these small, stress-free pockets of math time throughout the day, math skills begin to move from the short-term memory, or that working memory, to long-term memory. And really, that's the goal. We want long-term retention. Small chunks of intentional teaching yield fruit. Do not buy into the lie that more is better. It is not. Check out 11 teaching tips when you're homeschooling the ADHD brain. That's on my website as well. Number 8, homeschool math planning, resources for your math tool belt. There are some amazing homeschool resources to use when working on foundational math skills. I have particular posts in my website all about some of the greatest recommended homeschool math curriculum from a variety of homeschool veteran mamas that are from A Heart for All Students private community. If you are not there, join us on Facebook. These ladies recommended all the different curriculum that they have used throughout the years with varying children based upon their child's different needs. And it's super, super helpful. So if you have a child that has dyscalculia or dyslexia or has that ADHD brain that struggles to sit still, every mama gave their story, what they liked, and there's got to be something there that could be helpful for you. Another thing is if your child hits a wall because he doesn't know his multiplication facts, then you can also check out the Classical Conversations app. You can find that at the App Store, and it's like $16. I'm not going to lie, it's pretty pricey for an app, but man, is it worth it. They have so many fantastic skip counting songs that help you memorize your multiplication tables, and you have to think about it as a tool in the tool belt. Okay, yes, they might have to skip count them, but if that song helps them in those stressful moments to be able to skip count and find the correct answer, give it to them. Tools in the tool belt. And I just found out like within this past week about a fantastic, oh my word, I'm so excited. This was not planned. I gotta write it down. This fantastic company called Cross 7. So if you are someone who's really, really loved Classical Conversations, that's a classical model of education. It's a framework, or it is a program that has been set up intentionally to create various classical homeschooling communities throughout the world. And it's absolutely amazing. But one thing you'll learn about the classical model of education is they really utilize a lot of what's called memory work. And while a lot of people poo-poo rote memorization, that's so ridiculous because being able to memorize things is an incredible gift by God himself. And when our kids are young, we say that they are like sponges, right? So we need to harness the genius of God's design and allow our kids to memorize when it's easier for them to do so. So going back to this new program, if you like the classical conversations model, which uses a lot of memory work, including skip counting songs, geography songs, timeline songs, scripture songs, it's so phenomenal. I cannot tell you. I will post a link in the show notes. I will post a link in this particular blog post all about cross7.org. It is phenomenal. It has 28 weeks of memory work based on geography. There's a timeline song, math, science, grammar, English grammar, my favorite thing to teach in the whole wide world, history, scripture. They have a hymn, Latin. It's so amazing. I cannot tell you. I'm so excited about it. It's like a subscription service for like $11 a month. That was totally a side note. I was not planning on talking about that. Go to my website to get more information about that, and you can find the link there. Number 9, another multisensory approach, the multiplication table simplified, times tales. It's an excellent resource that uses a multisensory approach to help kids memorize math facts. So this is just another tool in your tool belt. They use like cartoon narratives, lots of imagery with video, and I believe they use some song and tons of repetition and cute mnemonics, like where they use play on words and create like these little narratives to help kids memorize their multiplication facts. Super engaging and helpful, again, as a tool in their tool belt to help them memorize their math facts without tears, without crying. Oh my word. Get it. It's a great thing. I am an affiliate for Times Tales, just so you know. So I receive a small commission from them, but I have used it with my own kids. I used it with one of my oldest years ago, and they actually have new programs out there. So it's all about tools in the tool belt. Number 10 tip, get the school system out of your head. Traditional school settings are not always academically efficient. And this is simply because they are a system. And because of that, it has to include multiple non-academic variables in order to function. Think about recess, lining up, taking roll, packing up backpacks to go home. Now, I mention this because I want to put things in perspective. Long and drawn-out lessons are not necessary for true learning. Stress-free learning is always the goal. When stress is down, areas of the brain responsible for receiving and processing academic information are open for business. So when you get stressed out and you ask yourself if you're doing enough, deep breaths, mama, most likely you are. Number 11, homeschool math planning. Here, the pros of homeschooling. This is when homeschooling shines. Homeschooling allows us to flip the educational model in order to serve the best interest of our kids. Read books, work through puzzles, play board games. Oh my word, board games are amazing for those foundational math skills, which will end up making the more complex math in the future when we get to algebra. It will make it that much easier because your child is used to manipulating numbers in their head. Utilize board games, utilize fun, practice basic math facts, but do not feel as if you're not doing enough. Just working on basic math skills is always going to be worth investing in over the long term. Friend, be encouraged. You are the teacher. You are the teacher. You can do this. Take hold of your child's hand. Co-learn with your child. Let your child know that you're in this together. Yes, things are different when we homeschool if you're a new homeschooler. And oftentimes they're different from what we think it's supposed to look like. Even within the homeschool community, there are lots and lots of differences. Remember that you have been chosen by God on purpose to raise your child. You've got this. Let us know if you have any questions. Comment below in the comments section and make sure to subscribe and write a review if you found this helpful. And don't forget to share this with another mama. Friend, we're in this together. Talk to you soon. Bye. Hey friend, are you exhausted and overwhelmed by your child's big emotions and meltdowns? Girl, I get it. For years, I struggled in complete desperation, brokenness, and isolation, navigating my son's volatile behavior. Nothing I knew to do as a good Christian mama worked with this kid. We lived in a cycle of shame, chaos, and confusion for years. But by God's mercy, he allowed me to learn so much in this season. And I can tell you now that we are in a completely different place. That's why I've created the free 5-day devotional video teaching series for the exhausted mama who knows deep down inside that there has to be a more peaceful and life-giving way to parent her outside-the-box child. Sign up for the devotional series at www.aheartforallstudents.com. Hey friend, guess what? You just finished an entire episode. Give yourself a pat on the back. In the season of parenting where we are barely surviving, every accomplishment is a victory. So take it. And while you're at it, if you found this episode to be helpful, please consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast episodes. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a thing. And if you're looking for more practical tools and encouragement as you homeschool and parent your outside-the-box child to thrive, go to www.aheartforallstudents.com. There are tons of resources, freebies, and lots of extra support over there. Don't miss anything. And don't do this thing alone. Friend, we're in it together, and together we can change the narrative for our neurodiverse, outside-the-box kids.